you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., home of the upcoming Trump Plaza White House thing on Pennsylvania Avenue.
The White House thing?
Yeah. Something's going to happen. It's going to be fun.
Yes. And it is August 31st. We're recording at about 6 p.m. We'll get to the events of the day. We still have some stuff that's going to happen today that we won't be able to cover, but that's how this has been going.
Yeah, we're going to miss Trump's speech tonight in Arizona, which should be good. It comes after his visit with the Mexican president, which was not nearly as controversial as some might have thought it would have been. It just happened.
Yeah, and there's just stuff that keeps happening. As we closed our podcast last time.
What if that was the news? Reports on stuff that keeps on happening.
You know, I had to add that tag last time with the new stuff with Bannon. One of the things we did want to talk about last week, and it was very important, obviously, but it did get cut, was the fact that the Forbes came out with its highest paid movie star, mm-hmm. and that would be Dwayne The Rock Johnson at $64.5 million, which is a lot of money.
Good for The Rock.
The Rock, in the last couple weeks, too, the other reason he would be in the headlines was this kind of subtweeting Instagram feud with one of his Fast and Furious co-stars, which many believe to be Vin Diesel.
Who happens to also be in the top 10 of the highest paid actors in Hollywood.
Yeah, so whether or not there was going to be a real confrontation between these two, we might see it. There's now rumors that it'll happen at WrestleMania 33 on April 2nd in Orlando, which happens to be just a couple weeks before Fast 8 comes out on April 18th.
So yeah, it's all a work.
It's definitely a work. So while they might be at WrestleMania, two guys that won't be, probably. I'm just guessing. By the history of wrestling cards at WrestleMania, we might not see Heath Slater and Rhino. But
why?
They had a big week, though. Let's enjoy what we had this week. So
everyone's favorite free agent, Heath Slater.
Hottest free agent in the game, Heath Slater. And
15th congressional district of the state of Michigan's potential House representative. That is not the way to say this word.
No.
Rhino.
Yeah, you've been doing this for a little bit.
Rhino.
Rhino. Real name, Rhino. Heath Slater continues to be the most over guy on the roster, I think. And I think last night was definitely that. But he's getting...
of the most over guys.
He was getting chance during the Rollins Balor match. People want to see Heath Slater get signed to one of these brands. That's actually like this story they're telling is a lot of fun. But the latest chapter was on SmackDown as these two are competing for the inaugural SmackDown tag team titles. But like they had all the show. I mean, you'd watch the White Trash parody.
Mm-hmm. I hated it so much.
It was so, yeah, it was just like the easiest. It reminds me of that Louis C.K. joke about like you can go to the most liberal person and just go like, look at that guy, he's white trash.
Yeah, it really bothered me.
It was all like their flowers on their wedding day were fake. They live in a single wide, like hors d'oeuvres or whatever you said.
There was one legit funny part. One of Rhino's gimmicks on SmackDown / Life is he doesn't talk much.
Right.
So when he had a response, he drew it. He drew a sad face on a certain, what's it called? A saltine with Cheese Whiz. He just drew a sad face. I've been seeing that on the internet all day.
And he kept giving. Yeah, that's the thing. They cut it like single camera, like they were doing like two shots and one shots. I was like, wow, they actually like spent time making fun of poor white folks in the continuing psychodrama that is Vince McMahon fighting against his white trash upbringing in a single wide.
Yeah.
And his dad was actually Rhino. Like, people don't know that.
You swerved me.
Swerved. So Heath Slater and Rhino get a match against the returning one time tag champions.
Yeah, Chris and I, if you're new to the show, Chris and I recapped every single WrestleMania in order.
Yeah.
Not realizing that Donald Trump was in most of them. And the Headbangers were part of the Attitude Era, and we were both very confused of how this duo became popular. And the answer was people were abused by their parents, and Korn was a very popular band, and Metallica was extremely popular, and their whole gimmick was we like metal and
it was that they liked Marilyn Manson and White Zombie, and they had a finishing move called the Stage Dive, which somebody should steal because it's a powerbomb leg drop. It looks pretty good. They did it to Heath Slater. on Tuesday. They also, Rhino got busted up.
Rhino bladed, buddy.
Rhino did not blade Rhino on SmackDown.
Rewatch no. it.
He didn't blade.
All right. We're getting because, way too much in the weeds on
okay,
this.
Okay, I just, there's no way he'd risk whatever fine.
Okay.
He'd risk his rewatch, whole rewatch Michigan it. State representative.
Rewatched it.
I have a rewatch for you, but it's not that one. So either bladed or was busted open by one of the headbangers and it was bleeding all down his face. JBL, I think you pointed this out, had the line of the night.
Rhino's running for office in his home state. He'll never make it. He's way too honest.
It was one of the first times, if not the first time, that Rhino's running for office had been mentioned on SmackDown Live.
Right.
It had, and then later in the night,
it was mentioned on Talking Smack.
The Heath Slater Rhino train continued, marched forward on the best show of all WWE programming, Talking Smack.
25 minutes of Daniel Bryan just shooting from the hip.
It's so weird. So we talked about this a lot in our other show. Daniel Bryan is just smarter than every other wrestler.
Yeah.
So he's sort of a bully?
Yeah, like Rhino cut a really good kind of work shoot about like very serious, quiet about Slater's brother and like all the work they're doing, and just like Brian just like does his nervous laugh and he totally undercut it. It was like, no, let the moment, like he's kind of like making fun of him, like, oh, you showed emotion, you jerk.
He asked him if he joined Heath Slater because it would please the constituents of his in Michigan.
Okay. Did you not? Rhino, did you team up with Heath just to appease your constituents?
No, I did not. I seen promise in the young man, and
yeah, I think that's the smart thing to do, is not to, if you actually want to win this seat for the part-time state legislature in Michigan.
I don't know. It's weird. It's so weird.
It's really strange, but they are really over. There was a fan-made signs of Heath's kids in the audience, which has replaced the Cesaro section as the du jour thing to do. So while, like I said, this storyline's probably going to be ending in the next few weeks.
Sure.
So maybe not going to be continuing to Mania. But a guy who could be headlining WrestleMania 33... Have they announced what the star of WrestleMania 33 is? Is it going to be like WrestleMania Orange or something?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I think that they're going to announce the Hall of Fame, the actual structure for a wrestling Hall of Fame. We're getting way too much in the weeds in wrestling now, by the way.
Yeah, we'll get to the, you know, all the Trump.
For the people that are here for the politics, WrestleMania is like the yearly election of the WWE season.
Okay, if you don't know what WrestleMania is, there's no hope for you. So
I would beg to differ, and if you don't know what WrestleMania is, good for you. You've lived a long and healthy life.
WrestleMania is a pop cultural artifact. That's why we did all those 100 hours of podcasting. So anyway, the guy who could be headlining it is Kevin Owens. Talk about swerves. Did not see, on all the possibilities of a fatal four-way for their Universal title, I did not see that coming.
You didn't have money down, Kevin?
I would not put Kevin money
the start
down.
Of Raw that night?
Just he's
it was pretty clear. From my point of view.
He always, well, did you think that going in?
Once Finn Balor was hurt, yeah. Going in the four there was left, yeah, for sure. Here's why. Okay, Rollins literally hurts too many people. Reigns, they've tried and failed, and Enzo's way too blue.
Or Cass, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Enzo, well, it kind of counts. Enzo right. and Cass are just, they're not seasoned enough.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens is the little indie darling that could, with a child that he loves and a family that he loves, so they're reliable. They don't have to worry about scandals like a Nazi girlfriend. They don't have to worry about PED stuff because he's clearly not juicing. They don't have to worry about him on the mic because he's the best guy in the company for the past 2 years since he's been in the company. He's incredibly reliable. He's the only guy that his entire first year on the main roster was in every single pay-per-view. It totally makes sense.
Right, and that's why I didn't think it would happen.
He is the Jeb Bush of the WWE.
Since when does like logic come into booking? No, I mean, I think the rumors online were that it was Roman's to lose, and then it like in the days leading up, it was like, well, now it looks like it could be mm-hmm. Rollins. Just continue what they were doing before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, all those things are true about Owens. There was also a rumor, which has also been kind of debunked already, but talk about like, you know, you're saying Rhino bladed. Triple H says something to him when he goes in, and he gave the best performance of his life in selling the shock of what just happened. So there was some rumor that he was like, here's the finish, or you're going over, or just wait, or something like that. But it's a hell of a match, and I would just the hell of a closing to the match.
Even if you don't really like wrestling, give it a shot simply for how it starts. It's a fatal four-way, which it's single. Is it called single elimination?
Yes.
So every single person has to be eliminated by pinfall.
Mm-hmm.
So It's not just whoever gets pinned first. So it's a long match. So the first thing Kevin Owens does is roll out of the ring and says hello to his fake boss and real boss, Mick Foley and Stephanie McMahon, because there's no incentive for just being in there the entire time. That's smart. That's fun.
Yes, because his logic as a wrestler is always the closest to real logic.
Exactly.
Is why am I going to please the fans by sacrificing my body when I could just not do that?
Yeah, he is Kevin Owens the Donald Trump?
Well, we'll have to see. The Kevin Owens' first title defense will be at Clash of Champions on September 25th, which is the day before the first debate.
Why don't you look at that?
Look at that. And the Clash of Champions, that's like a great...
Who would have thunk it?
That's like a great title for a debate or a chapter of a book or something. So we had a lot of coverage of this, of the debate prep this week. Washington Post ran a headline, Inside Debate Prep, Clinton's Careful Case versus Trump's WrestleMania.
So because they want clicks, they ran WrestleMania in the headline for the online version. And because they want respect, they put it on like A16 and led with A1 with a completely different headline. Because for some reason, we don't want to put wrestling on the cover of the Washington Post.
They're just not there yet, but it does work online, clearly, as they have surpassed the... I don't know if they still have, but had surpassed the times at one point.
On Monday, CNN picked up this story, also using WrestleMania in the title. It's not an in-depth look about Trump and his experience in WrestleMania. It's just one of his advisors saying, he wants to make this like the Coliseum. He wants to make it like WrestleMania.
Yeah, it's one... It's Sam Nunberg, a former advisor, who has also, I think, sued Trump. And there's been some... He doesn't end well with a lot of these guys, but he said not only does he want 100 million viewers, he wants to be the showstopper. Amazing. At the Roman Coliseum. Roman Reigns' Coliseum.
Really quick, who's the showstopper?
That'd be Shawn Michaels, the Heartbreak Kick, the showstopper.
And why were you laughing when you mentioned the Coliseum?
Because it belongs to Roman Reigns. And the rest of the quote is just the main event at WrestleMania. He's going to love this, eat it up, and take her on. For Hillary to go in and think she'll be professional and wonky or give a long lecture, that'll play against her. And so that's all true.
Yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
He's 100% right.
And, I think that the reports coming out is that the Clinton team actually gets that. New York Times ran a piece called Hillary Clinton Piles Up Research in Bid to Needle Donald Trump at First Debate. You know, they're looking in the mock debates that she's going to do to try to get her off her game, trying to think of who could play Donald Trump. And on their list of people, you know, it's Carville and a guy, a congressional rep from Queens. But two of the interesting ones are Mark Cuban and John
Stewart. Wait, stop. Mark Cuban, you mean guy that appeared on Monday Night Raw?
You mean a guy that Sheamus put through a table? Yeah, that's the one.
Cool, Mark Cuban.
And John Stewart.
Whoa, you mean John Stewart who recently appeared at SummerSlam?
2 years in a row. Taking on Rollins, Cena, and then the club? Yeah, that would be the guy.
Oh, God.
You know, but while she's working on all this, on this prep, you know, Trump, obviously, not doing the conventional wisdom, has not since last June. He was quoted as saying, I believe you can prep too much for those things. It can be dangerous. You can sound scripted or phony, like you're trying to be someone you're not. Which is also advice I would give to every wrestler, professional wrestler in the world, when they're cutting a promo. And I think many wrestling people would agree.
Oh, God. So do you think it's Dusty Rhodes would be the ideal coach for Donald Trump in this debate?
If you will.
Yeah.
Yes, if you will.
In the Washington Post piece, one of everyone's favorite little takeaways from this is it's him, Roger Ailes, and Chris Christie eating double bacon cheeseburgers and drinking Coca-Cola at the Mar-a-Lago, preparing for the debates.
Right, which would maybe suggest that, like, he doesn't have great health. I don't know. You know, and eating all that Backlash-sponsored KFC food, too.
Really quick, I want to correct on the fly here. KFC did not just sponsor Backlash. They are consistently sponsoring. I don't know if you noticed this, but they sponsored all the SmackDown Lives matches. Mauro Ranallo has been having to call the SmackDown chicken sponsorship lines. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, he also has to call when Dolph Ziggler plays the Colonel and The Miz plays the chicken, which
it's
The
so
Miz
good.
Brought up in
it's
his promo
so good.
This week.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, and it was a good correction, but you totally stepped on my transition here. But
No, I didn't. Right. We're still talking about chicken.
Yes. So a few days ago, Donald Trump's doctor, Dr. Harold Bornstein, definitely a real doctor. you know, this is the time of year where we start looking at financials and tax releases and health reports.
Sorry.
And, you know, with a Trump limo driver waiting, Dr. Bornstein took a real careful 5 minutes and wrote a letter that has a typo in the first line and concluded with the line, "If elected, Mr. Trump, I can state unequivocally, will be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency." Yeah. It was pretty great. And the video of this guy, we should probably put some of that in because...
Oh, yeah.
His health is excellent, particularly his mental health. He thinks he's the best, which it works out just fine.
Adding,
he would be fit because I think that his brain is turned on 24 hours a day.
The cliche is like, look up in the dictionary, but like a quack, like this is exactly what you think. Yeah.
Oh, God.
He's been handing out, like, happy pills since 1972. Like, he is, wow, it's great. And this came up because Trump, one of his major attacks recently, and has become kind of the alt-right slash right-wing attack on Hillary, is that she's not well, her health is an issue, she had a concussion, she falls down a lot. And that's kind of the one of the new attacks that he's taking on her.
Little side note here. Last week we also opened with a quote, or a little anecdote from Jake the Snake Roberts. We were looking up to talk to Jake, and this was not in the podcast, but, and I think I told you this, but I definitely did not include it in the article I wrote. He said that he's gotten over 150 concussions.
That's a lot.
I think my response was, that's too many.
What did he say?
He kept talking. He had a lot of concussions. Hillary
breezed through that.
Maybe had one.
Yeah, she did have one. Less than that should be her letter from her doctor.
Jake had 150.
My patient has had less concussions than Jake the Snake, Mick Foley, and Daniel Bryan combined. Also, the other tack is that this has been, you know, and I don't know how much this has been Trump. This has been kind of the media's big angle for the last week is analyzing the connections between Clinton Foundation.
Well, that's the issue. The verb you use is incorrect. Analyzes it was wrong. The AP broke this story, and it was debunked almost instantly.
Yes.
So saying there anyone's analyzing incorrect.
There's been...
No, there hasn't.
People have analyzed it post...
No, they don't need to analyze
it. Now it's
facts are facts. Facts are facts. Yeah. I'm not changing my plan. I'm just changing all of the words. So what happened was there's been another problem with the Clinton Foundation. And by problem, I mean Hillary Clinton doesn't know how to stand up for her foundation.
Yeah.
Some of the things that were revealed were donors to the foundation, high-paying donors, requested some services while Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State. All of that has been proven that nothing actually happened. The best example is Bono. Bono's given a lot of money to the Clinton Foundation. He's worked a lot with the Clintons, raised a lot of money, and helped a lot of people in Africa get AIDS drugs. You know, real, real horrible liberal shit here. So... Bono's total favor asked when Clinton was Secretary of State, hey, will you help me get my concert stream for the International Space Station? And the answer was no. So that's the controversy. Stuff like that. There's been nothing proven that she actually
quid pro quo.
Used her position of power to help anybody else. But she said things like, it's just more smoke and no fire. But guess what? Smoke looks bad. And because smoke looks bad, you could die from that just because there's not a fire. So the Clinton camp is really bad at shutting this down, and the Trump camp is really good at just yelling shit, and good on them and good on all their surrogates to go on CNN consistently and say it's pay for play, even though it's proven almost instantly to not be pay for play.
Is it? And this is really that... the. Problem that that Hillary Clinton and the Clintons have had in general. There's a lot of these things of like unforced errors. Saw it a lot during the primary. Saw it with the Goldman Sachs. Like, you know, you're running for president. You've been running for president for a decade. Why are you taking? Why take the money? You can always say, well, you know, I didn't let it affect me. But it's like you did it, and it like you can't. The fact that they can never and yet it didn't. Did it change how she thinks about banks? No, because she's a centrist who likes the banks, so it didn't change it, but you give that appearance. And like having the Clinton Foundation running while you were the State Department.
Learn something from the WWE on this. I'm not joking. Learn something from a public figure, right? Take a fake big check from Goldman Sachs for $250,000 and then give it directly to
Connors Kerr.
Connors Kerr, seriously. Give it to a Make-A-Wish. Give it to all the AIDS money. That you're providing in Africa, make a direct line to that and go, yes, I did take that money, and here's what I used for that money. Because if you're already doing it, prove it. And I understand, like, oh, I shouldn't have to do this. No, you should. You should do these things because it's smart, and that's what public relations is. And the WWE has it down.
Yeah, and if I can quote Stephanie McMahon, quoting Biz Stone, philanthropy is the future of marketing. It's the way brands are going to win. They all figured it out. I think the Clinton campaign should figure it out. You know, and so all this stuff, you know, whether it's just smoke or fire, it is taking a toll. I mean, there's a poll came out today. I think it's Washington Post, ABC poll, and with registered voters, Hillary Clinton's favorability is nearly identical to Donald Trump's. It's 38 favorable, 59 unfavorable to Trump's 37 to 60. Now, his number is basically just up. He went up, ticked up maybe a point since early August, whereas she dropped 7 points in favorability and raised in the unfavorable in the same amount.
Yeah. So in the same month that Trump continued to attack a Gold Star parents.
August?
That was the end of July, and he continued it through August. Yeah.
Man, it feels like forever.
I know. The same month that he brought on Breitbart people, the same month that he did not instantly disavow David Duke, his numbers went up a point, and she went down because of good work that she won't say is good work.
Yeah.
Learn from Stephanie McMahon. It's not hard.
It's not that hard. Meanwhile, so that was the poll that came out today. That came out before we found out, or maybe that was last night. When did we find out that Trump was going to Mexico?
About the same time as this poll, yeah.
So it comes out that Trump, after kicking off his campaign with a thing that could have been ripped from a JBL promo circa 2004, which is actually worse than the JBL promo, because JBL didn't say, like, rapist, which I think would sound really good coming out of JBL's mouth.
Moggle!
Moggle, can you believe all these rapists, Moggle? That's probably
how did they not have a Run for the Border match featuring JBL and Donald Trump as a tag team?
Missed opportunities.
WrestleMania 33, live from Orlando, you know, on the Trump Network.
Could still happen. So Trump responding to Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, who had asked both candidates to visit, and what many are seeing is kind of a Hail Mary for a guy who is extremely unpopular in his country as Mexico becomes basically like what Trump thinks cities in America is, that's what Mexico's like. I mean, it's not that bad, but it's like violence on the... It's not a war zone. It's not Raw's war. It's violence on the rise. It's scandals. Nieto has, like, his own plagiarism scandal. So he's not having a great time. So, yeah, any good press is good press, right? Trump says, yeah, he's going to go down and meet with Nieto despite everything he said about Mexico
or
and the Mexican people.
It.
Or because of it. So the Mexican people not really happy with this. One of their major historians says it's a historic error. It's comparing it to Chamberlain meeting with Hitler. So that's hyperbolic as well.
Sure, but have you been following the coverage today?
No.
Some of the things that came out were like there are more journalists here than protesters. It's like the convention. Like it's once again a lot of smoke, no fire.
No fire. You know, and the fact is that nothing actually, so as we're waiting for Trump to make this speech, like we said, about immigration in Arizona tonight, it's probably where the money's going to be, because today he said, who pays for the wall? We didn't discuss. So they talked about the wall. I think he softened his position on NAFTA, but as we know, he didn't soften his position, he just changed the words,
yeah. My favorite quote from this came, one of the last things he said from Donald Trump, it's been a tremendous honor, and I call you a friend. While Donald Trump was saying that, Hillary Clinton, I think the best possible response, tweeted out, here are all the Trump tweets about Mexico and its people. Like,
yeah, I
that's
mean,
how to deal with this.
Every day should just be like an Oppo research dump. Like, there's
it's not
so
hard.
Much. It's just overwhelming. So, you know,
Really quick. This does tie to how he's been dealing with the African-American population in America. If I want to connect to black people in America, if I want to connect to people in color, definitely go to the suburbs of Seattle and give a speech about race in an entirely blue state. That's the route I'm going to take, like Donald Trump took earlier this week. And I think that's the exact same thing with Mexico. If anything else, he's just appealing to white suburban voters, being like, see, I could talk about black people. I could talk about Mexican people. I'm going to Mexico. Yeah. I've been to a resort. I know how Mexico works.
Yeah, that just reminds me of a really random It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia reference where Frank is saying, like, oh, you know, this is like when I was in Nam. And they're like, you went 3 years ago to open a sweatshop. It's not the same thing.
Actually, it is sort of the exact same thing.
So, I mean, Trump going there talking to his audience.
Of course.
And tonight he's going to, you know, he can very well say, I told him he's going to pay for the wall.
Yeah.
He can say whatever he wants.
Because he's making smoke where there is no fire. He is smarter. He understands how to play the game, yeah. Triple H.
And he's going, you know, this is coming after a couple weeks where, yes, he changed his words but not his position about deporting 11 million people. Like, he's changed, he's solving some stuff, he's taking some blowback. You know, he's embarrassed Dan Coulter, so good for him. But, you know, I think he's going to Arizona, he's going to his base, he's talking to his, he's going to come out with the same shit.
If I'm a Donald Trump supporter, I'm incredibly happy with this week. Mm-hmm. And if I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter, I'm disappointed yet again this week.
I can see that.
And if I'm a wrestling fan, I'm pretty okay with this week. I think Raw and SmackDown evened it out. Like, I'm not happy that a lot of the people I like, including Cesaro now, are hurt. But I got really Kevin
hurt.
Owens.
You got work, buddy. He's not actually hurt.
I got Kevin Owens.
You do have Kevin Owens, though.
Is he actually not hurt?
No, he's not hurt.
Cool.
They're selling a back injury. He hit his leg. So
cool.
Yeah. Sasha's hurt, though. That's real. And Finn then, is very hurt. That's real.
And you do SmackDown recaps, and there's not a lot going on.
Yeah.
But the little bit that's good is pretty good. So it's a wash. I feel like if you're a wrestling fan, you're right in the middle. And if you're a Trump fan, you're pretty happy. And if you're a Hillary fan, even though you're winning, you feel like you're losing yet again.
And, you know, for those wrestling fans, the next big thing that we have to look forward to is WWE Backlash on September 11th. So that was good on them for doing that. But also, you know, that you can go outside of the world of WWE. We usually focus on that. It's the biggest one in the world. It's what has the most fans. It has the most comparisons. But it's not the only thing that has comparisons. I just found out, I was just brought to my attention online, and I kind of found out there's this storyline that's been brewing in AAA, which is the major Mexican promotion. They do a lot of, they kind of cross-brand with Lucha Underground on El Rey Network, which is shot in L.A.
You might know El Rey because it's the network Rodriguez owns.
Yes.
The famed director. The very good director.
You're right. And it's a Lucha Underground, a lot of fun. People, once again, people who don't like wrestling will probably like Lucha Underground because it looks like Robert Rodriguez Grindhouse with some wrestling in it. But some of the heels from Lucha Underground who also work in AAA, Johnny Mundo, formerly John Morrison of WWE, Brian Cage, formerly of Developmental, Mesías, who's Mil Muertes in Lucha, Hernandez, and this woman, Taya, they have formed a heel faction in Mexico called Team Trump. Because on that team, Mundo is American, Brian Cage is American, Mesías is Puerto Rican, Hernandez is Tejano from Texas, and Taya is, I think, Canadian. So even though you have Spanish speakers and stuff, and they're in the, I mean, as we've seen forever in American promotions, an easy way to get heel heat is to be anti-American. And the anti-American foreign heel is great. But these guys are doing, you know, and we've seen that this year. Rusev always kind of does that to a certain degree. Not as much as he did a few years ago, but these guys are right in the middle of it. And they're cutting, I mean, I've seen the translated promos of stuff and them parroting Trump lines about the Mexican people to get heat is really great.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, and Johnny Mundo defeated a really good Mexican wrestler, Pentagon Jr., for the AAA Latin American title. And the English-speaking announcer, Lucha Underground's Matt Stryker, had a hell of a call.
Listen, some people will say that a Hillary Clinton presidency will be a kick in the balls, but tonight, Team Trump, led by Johnny Mundo, are victorious. And if it's the same result in a month or so, boy, oh boy, what a world we will live in. Your new Latin American champion is Johnny Mundo. And if you don't like my political rhetoric, I got two words for you.
Mundo has the Latin American title. We don't have one of those. We almost had a Mex-American title.
Oh,
remember that?
Man, I miss that.
I know. You know what else we miss? Alberto Del Rio, who is less than a year of coming to the company, is on his way out. Maybe he can go fight Team Trump in AAA if he hasn't burned all his bridges there. But yeah, the news came out this week that he already gave his notice. He might have given his notice before he got popped for wellness policy. So he's out after being saddled with a horrible gimmick. Did we talk about Mex-America?
So in 2015, John Cena needed to take some time off to film a reality show for Fox, which sort of relates to an election, all about soldiers and working together. And John Cena is America. So in order to do that, they needed to take the belt off of him. So they brought in a surprise, which was Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio teamed up with Butch Mantell slash... what's his name?
Dutch Mantel slash Zeb Coulter.
Zeb Coulter, who we've played on this show before, and the gimmick was, we're going to unite Mexico and America to make the Mex-American belt. Two extremely talented men with a horrible gimmick that just did not go over.
And it was a question of if it was intended to go over, if it's punished. I mean, they have this kind of habit. We've seen this with when people come in from outside WWE, they lose. If they wrong WWE, they lose. They're made to look stupid. They gave two guys who were heels. I mean, they had feuded before with Jack Swagger with the like the Don't Tread on Me Tea Party gimmick that Coulter and Swagger had, the Real Americans, versus you know, Del Rio as the Mexican hero. And they played that both ways. But they came back and they kind of made this like, they were kind of hippie-ish, like New World Order, not the NWO, but like joining the content. Like, and it wasn't clear if people were supposed to boo them or cheer them.
Yeah.
Because are you booing like NAFTA? Are you booing, like, what are you booing here?
It's really convoluted.
And it never paid off, and they eventually just, you know, wheeled Coulter off the stage for that one.
And then they literally did that.
Yeah.
And then they turned Alberto Del Rio into a heel.
Yes.
And he joined the League of Nations. Yeah. And the entire premise of the League of Nations was all of these men are from different countries. Boo.
And they lose all the time. And they got beat up by the by Mick Foley and Austin and
Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. Yeah. So
yeah, it was kind of a mess. But you know, to his credit, he did take their money for a year.
Yeah.
He got in a relationship with Paige.
Yeah, he broke up his marriage.
Got with Paige, who's like 15 years younger. Probably did some drugs because he popped for wellness. So he had a good time. And now he gets to go back to Mexico and fight Team Trump.
I guess that's a good idea.
Hey, man. Alberto Del Patron. He's going to be okay. Yeah. But we are going to see this. We'll see what happens on this speech. I think our luck, the way we've been ending these and then news breaks immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope tonight is like the wall in full force. Like he has to play to his crowd in Arizona. I mean, is like Sheriff Joe going to be there? Like, I feel like he really has to. So we'll see. I mean, by the time this goes up tomorrow, maybe he will have like
does
started
he come out
ruined foreign relations.
Does he come out to at his rally to Pink Floyd's The Wall?
That's a little too. Doesn't he come out to like Elton John?
He's got a lot of Elton John and a lot of Andrew Lloyd Webber. No joke.
Yeah,
I think tonight he comes out to The Wall.
I'm going with Real American.